time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Styles and Watkins, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We gotcha. On a... I know LeBron tried to trademark it, then untrademark it. Taco Tuesday, whatever
Taco
it is.
Tuesday.
We're going to make you feel good. We know it was a tough go. We are going to find a way to pull some positives when it comes to the Sacramento Kings. Everybody, it's easy. It's easy to complain. It's easy to say that was terrible.
It's so easy.
And it was. Yeah. That's not a lie. And trust me, they're going to get this work. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Don't you worry.
But we will find a way to pull some positives. Keon Ellis, walk on up. You're up. Sheesh. Because you played well. So we got some positives to go through there. Going to talk some Niners. Chris Biederman, our guy, Candlestick Chronicles at 11 a.m. Not going to want to miss that. We got a couple different power rankings for you. Not just team power rankings, but also the 25 under 25. Where does our guy, who I just accidentally roasted, Keegan Murray, where does he land on that list? And a new segment every Tuesday, we're doing the Truck Smart Drive of the Week, brought to you by Truck Smart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your truck's going to love them, and Chris is going to love the Drive of the Week or whatever we choose. So we're going to name a couple. We're going to play some sounds, and you help us, the listeners, help us.
Yeah.
Decide I only the so Drive of the Week, say. And also chime in with your own Drive of the Week. Anything from NFL Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whatever you thought was good, we want you to be a part of it. So, with that being said, Chris Watkins, again, great job. They're really testing your mental state. Protect your mentals and protect your chickens if you're Marshawn Lynch. But how are you doing after watching that shellacking last night of the Sacramento Kings?
I'm so glad that it's over, that's for sure. Yeah, Jason asked us how much we watched of yesterday's game. I unfortunately watched every single waking second of that game.
Bless you.
I had
Bless
to do, you. I'm going to plug it again, the Sacktown Sports Kings recap, which we do at the end of every single Sacramento Kings game over on our YouTube channel. Yeah, so I had to watch every single minute of it. And let me tell you, I don't know. We might have to have a conversation with our bosses after this show, because I don't think I'm being paid enough to watch that kind of basketball. And I don't think anybody's getting paid enough to watch that basketball. I don't even think Mike Brown or De'Aaron Fox is getting paid enough to watch that basketball, because that was just, it was terrible. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. It was sobering. It was so many things. And I really, first and foremost, hope that it was rock bottom. I know I said that after Friday, I firmly have to believe that it is not going to get worse than what we just saw yesterday. Because if it gets worse, I don't know, Alan. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, it's funny because we sit here and we say, what? There's been six games. And when you talk about how people like us in the media or fans will overreact, hey, it's still early in the season. But based on it being early in the season, this is basically as bad as it could get without somebody saying, hey, six games into the season, what would make you freak out, even though it's only six games into an 82-game season? You would say, even without De'Aaron Fox, getting your doors blown off by the Houston Rockets twice and getting Dylan Brooks in the first game to blow kisses towards your bench and in the second game to go Yammertown on you, NBA Jam, in front of the world, And Dylan Brooks is given a scowl and everything like that.
Early.
And at one point, being down by a 40-burger.
Yeah.
4-0. That is what'll do it. Six games in? Hey, hey, Chris, what would make you freak out six games in? Oh, Alan.
I would say 0-6, for sure.
It would have to be 0-6, yes.
But this is a very, very close second. I mean, it's great that the Kings have, I guess now we have to look at it, as gotten two wins and secured two wins. But everything else has looked about as bad. The fact that they've lost to the Warriors twice, which is a team that you would have hoped that after last year the Kings would have built upon and figured out how to at least steal one of those games. And then, two just absolutely embarrassing, sobering, humbling losses to the Houston Rockets, though they were both on the road, doesn't bode well for positive feelings. It just doesn't. And, it's not the end-all, be-all. The season's definitely not over, but there's
some work to do.
There's yeah, Monty's got some work to do. And it's just, it feels like this is definitely something to be concerned about. This is not just, oh, De'Aaron's not playing, wait for your best player to come back. Oh, it's early in the season. Those things are all very true, but that does not mean that it's an excuse for the way the Kings have played basketball this last week.
Something in the foundation is a bit broken,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And you are a person, when I came up here and I said, okay, man, you know, coming from the Bay, I am one of those guys that's a bonus. I don't get how much you guys ride for him, right?
For sure.
I think he's a good player.
Yep.
I think he's a nice player. I think he is a what is it called? A generic brand Jokic,
sure,
if you will.
Yeah.
I would say that is being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I think he's actually a little bit better than that. But how he's played lately, right?
He's proven the doubters right.
He's proven the doubters right, because if he is supposed to be an elite number two, you can't drop. I had to double check, Chris. We're sitting here, 8 points, and I know he didn't play very much
because
you got your doors blown off. But 8 points, and you're supposed to be an elite number two, and you got guys like Chris Watkins who lives and breathes Sacramento. He bleeds purple. Yeah. Okay, riding and saying, why isn't De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis? Why aren't they on any duo list, top duo list?
Yeah.
Well, this is why.
Yeah.
Because if you're a top duo, if one guy is out, if you're Batman and you need Robin, if Robin is out hanging out doing something, Robin isn't doing his job. So to me, I don't know that we can have any conversations anymore about Sabonis. He's not playing at an elite level right now.
No.
He's just not.
He's not.
And if it's supposed to be those guys to carry you, that lineup right here. Okay, Domantas Sabonis, Domas, you're supposed to be an elite number two.
Yep.
Harrison Barnes, you've been in the league for 2 decades, okay? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to understand that you lose a game, your first game, cool. Second game, you got to figure it out. Keegan Murray, he's on a list we're going to talk about later, the top 25, under 25. You're supposed to be up and coming, okay? Davion Mitchell, you're supposed to prove, not that you were, you know, a lottery, whatever it is, you're supposed to prove that you can be on this court, okay? And then you have Kevin Huerter, who every single game, yes, he played a little bit better today, last night, 3 for 8 from 3-point land, but you're supposed to prove I deserve this starting role. Nobody did any of that.
Nope.
Nobody.
Nope. Not a single person.
Maybe Kevin Huerter, because we lowered the bar because he hasn't been making anything.
Yeah, but also, what kind of pride are you supposed to take in? Hey, I had my best game of the year tonight. The team might have had their worst game of the past 2 years, but
right.
I had my, like, it's all for nothing. I mean, it really doesn't matter if it's not a piece of the puzzle that's coming together to lead them to success. It's empty calories, it's empty numbers. And yeah, I mean, everybody definitely played their role, but you're completely right to point the finger first and foremost at Domantas Sabonis. Cause like you said, like, when one of your stars is out, your other star is supposed to step up, and you're not even really supposed to notice that your other star is out because he's playing so well.
And he did against the Warriors.
He did.
But that feels like eons ago.
It feels like years ago. It feels like that was the playoffs or something like that. It feels that long ago. He has to be better. Like, there's no excuse. There's no reasoning behind him only taking 4 shots last night. He played 30 minutes. There's not an excuse of he didn't play much either. Like, he just played really, really, really poorly. And really, I mean, it's to the point, not just with him, but really with this entire team, where there's no benefit of the doubt that's given. There is no, I saw Sabonis do this last year, and so I think he can revert back to it. I think we're at the point now where, again, this team is at rock bottom, and I'm at the point where this is a brand new season, and unless you have production to speak of from this year, I don't really think anybody should be safe. And obviously, you know, Sabonis isn't going to lose his starting job or anything like that, but when we're talking about importance of roles, and again, maybe when it is talking about Sabonis, how much the ball should be in your hands, I think all of that, everything needs to be reconsidered. And I agree with what you said this morning. I personally, I don't think they will do this, but I wouldn't want De'Aaron Fox to come back until they fix this.
No.
Because this is not, you almost don't want De'Aaron Fox patching all these problems, because these are very, very real problems that need to be addressed. And you're not going to win anything, let alone a playoff series or a final, whatever. Yeah. You're not winning anything if the rest of your guys are playing like this.
No, absolutely not. So got to get to a break. Like we said, I know we said we were going to go positive, but We had to get through the negatives first, and we will.
There
will
be more negatives, y'all.
But 10:15, as we get to a break, when we come back, we're going to talk about what went right last night. Yeah, there were some things, and we found them. We got our microscopes out, looking like Nicolas Cage, okay, and National Treasure. We found some positives, and we will talk about them when we get back. Pulling positives, 10:15, when we get back from a break, and then 10:30, get them lined up. Get your calls, get your texts, get your chat lined up. Because we're talking about blame pie and what should go where. 916-339-1140 when we get back from a break. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, ninth official show as we take you up to 2 p.m. And it's a ninth official show, and it will not be forgotten because I don't think anybody will forget where they were when the Kings, at one point last night, were down by 40 points. Mm. 40! 40
Hopefully
points!
Hopefully people do forget. That's something that I would want blacked out from my memory.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I would like to say that this hasn't happened before, but unfortunately, it very much has.
40 is just insane to me.
Yeah, it's definitely not something that happens often, but it's happened in the very recent past of the Sacramento Kings. There's some Kings Celtics games that are kind of notorious for getting out of hand, and you know, the Houston Rockets definitely are not the Celtics, but it was.
That's the only thing that Kings fans can pray for.
Yeah.
That the Rockets end up being much better. Ime Udoka has those boys
back in the championship. Ime's right back.
Right.
In the
and if they're a fifth seed, we're going to look back and say, you know,
it's not a bad loss. You know, that's a good team.
It looked worse at the time.
Yeah.
But as we said, we are pulling positives here at 10:15, trying to find what went right for the Kings. And trust me, it took a lot. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist, right? And I felt like I was a part of archaeology trying to find the positives from the game last night. And Chris, I know you did the same. What stuck out to you that was a positive from last night's game?
Well, we kind of brushed over it a little bit, and we did kind of poo-poo it a little. But, you know, again, we've got to take the positives where they lie. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Huerter did break out of his little – I wouldn't say breakout, but Kevin Huerter hit some shots yesterday from the perimeter at that as well. And I think we have to take that as a positive out of last night's game because, you know, you said maybe we've moved the bar down a little bit lower and that's why it felt a little bit better. But I think the fact that Kevin Huerter knocked down three threes yesterday and looked confident and didn't really have any moment where you could feel the weight of the slump on his shoulders. He really was just letting that thing go, and you can tell once the first couple went in, he really he let go and let loose a little. So that was definitely a positive to see. 3 of 8 from three definitely wasn't perfect, but who knows? Maybe if that game is a little – it feels weird to say, but maybe if that game was a little bit closer, maybe Kevin Huerter has himself a 20-plus point night, and we can officially say that we're on the other end of this. But – you know, obviously he wasn't given that opportunity, but the fact that when he was in, he was probably the Kings' best offensive weapon, I would say that's a massive positive for where Kevin's been so far through six games this season.
Yeah, you got to take it.
Yeah,
and again, if you found any positives, 916-339-1140, let us know as we break them down. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Huerter, 3 from 8 from three ball land, which feels better than what we've seen from him because we've seen a donut, we've seen one for whatever, and it's just the confidence. We just want to start to knock off the feeling of you can see him a little anxious and the anxiety every time he gets ready to take a shot.
Yep.
And you know, hopefully that translates to the next couple of games and moving forward. So got to be happy about that. The next one here, which is a guy who, you know, he's still a rookie, and some things look good, some things look a little, okay, he's a rookie, and that would be Colby Jones. He continues to look comfortable, and I think that's something that we can really be happy about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I've been saying it a lot, but I think it's very true that, you know, we just don't think of second rounders as really having impact, especially not this early in the season. And the fact that Colby Jones already through six games looks incredibly comfortable, incredibly confident, and they're running him at point guard. Like, it's not like he's playing off ball and, and, you know, just picking and choosing spots. He has the ball in his hands a good amount when he's out there, and he's made really good decisions, and I really like his finishing ability. Like, I really trust him around the rim, and I think with his ability to shoot as well, I could really see him stealing minutes. And, you know, Frankie made a really bold prediction before the season that he could see Colby Jones really get rotational minutes like 30 games into the season. And I'm really starting to see that. Like, I did not expect Colby Jones. I thought it would be a cute story, but definitely thought the Kings would be having more success. So I didn't think he'd have a chance to really even get inserted. But the fact that, you know, it's not under the best circumstances, but Colby's getting a bit of an extended look, or more of a look than we would have expected, and he's looking really comfortable and confident in those minutes. I think that's a massive, massive positive.
Yeah, and then the question becomes very similar, and we'll, a little later in the show, the Giants re-signed some guys, the San Francisco Giants.
My goodness.
That is, they re-signed some guys. We'll get your thoughts on that. But very similar to the Giants, to where, oh, wow, we're getting to see the young guys play. Then it turned into, whoa, way too many young guys are playing.
Way too
that
much,
means
yeah.
that the veterans aren't doing their job. The question becomes, is Colby Jones playing? Is that an indictment on the veterans, or does that mean Colby Jones is playing really well? I guess it depends on who you ask.
For sure. At this moment, I would probably say it's a combination of both, but I would say that Colby is playing well enough to where I think it's just flat out he's playing well. Like, I don't think it necessarily has to, with how he's playing right now, I don't think it has to be a Chris Duarte's playing so bad, we need somebody to give minutes. I think Colby is, as every rookie should, I think Colby's earning his minutes, and I think that's going to go a long way. And who knows? I mean, once G League starts, who knows? Maybe the Kings, you know, give him some G League minutes here and there, and he gets an extended run and gets even more confident and more comfortable with his game. I just think that it's a really good sign early in the season that this second-round draft pick already looks like a rotational piece.
916-339-1140. Let's get out to TC, who wants to talk Kings. What's up, TC? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Styles and Watkins, man. What's going on?
Not much, man.
Not much, man. What you got for us?
Nah, man. Just live it, you know, live it about the whole situation, man. You know what I'm saying? On not getting up for teams that you should get up for. And second of all, man, like, It's a few things. I'm cool with all the three-pointers. That's what was our identity. But this was a problem last year, even with the high-octane offense. When the threes aren't dropping, don't live and die by them. Get inside the paint. Another thing, Sabonis, you got to stop being so passive, dude. If you finna be – quit being a guy out there. You're supposed to be the second-best player beside Fox. Start acting like it, bro. If that's the case, we could have kept Halliburton, bro. I'm not saying getting rid of Domas or nothing. I love Domas. We need Domas. But we need Domas, bro, to be dominant. I don't care about passing the ball and all that, trying to do DHOs and all that. No, bro, be dominant in the middle. You were working on your jumper this offseason. I haven't even seen you take a jumper. I've seen you take, like, maybe two. Bro, open up your game. The defense has to find themselves. As far as our identity and our shots, bro, it's about effort. Those dudes out there just playing around like it's a high school game. Check it out. Mike, get these dudes together, bro. But the most important is Sabonis, bro, with that passive game. We need you to be the second best player, not just a guy on this team, man. That's all I got.
Wow.
TC, drop the mic.
Come on.
He's in fuego. He's on fire. TC.
To say that's all I got after dropping.
That's all I got.
Just, oh my God.
Is he finished or is you done?
Come on.
You know, and I had a feeling it would come up today as we talk about the Pacers and how Halliburton's got off to a hot start. I'm one of the guys that I always am going to think that guard play, you can figure it out, right? And we'll never know. He's gone now, so we don't have to have that conversation. But I will say this. If you are another team right now, right, and you're talking about Sabonis being elite number two, is there anybody saying, we got to contain this guy? This guy can beat us by himself. Now, I don't know how many elite number twos can beat a team by themselves, but I do know that if you were to watch a game without knowing anything, right? Like I said, my mom was over last night as we continue to try to unpack and stuff. And my terrible game for her to watch as she
Horrible.
Starts to get into to Kings basketball. And at no point in time, there were about two or three plays where she said, oh, good pass, you know, by Sabonis or whoever. He does not jump off the screen. Not without De'Aaron. So is an elite number two, are you supposed to be that dependent on your number one, or are you supposed to sometimes be able to carry the load? That's ultimately the question.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely supposed to be able to pick up the load for sure, and it's just that's what's made it so frustrating is, I will continue to praise Domantas Sabonis of last season, where I really felt like he was incredibly important, not just to his own game, but to getting everybody else going as well, to creating open Kevin Huerter threes and creating open Keegan Murray threes. This season, it just seems like people figured it out. And I don't know if really, you know, to cliche, I don't know if the Warriors have you know, released the blueprint on how to guard Sabonis, and maybe it is giving him his jump shot and, you know, not allowing people to have backdoor cuts.
He used to be able to shoot, though.
To an extent, like, it was a little bit of a counter move where, you know, yeah, you were going to give him the room, he'll take the shot. But I think at this point, teams are living with that shot. And if they're going to give it to him every single time and he's going to take it four or five times a game, he's not a shooter.
No, no. Not that, but enough to where it should be a little bit more respected.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, for sure. I think he's just not that good of a shooter. I think that's really what it is. I think he hits that shot out of necessity. I don't think he hits it because it's in his bag.
He doesn't want to take it, and the defense knows he doesn't want to take it.
Exactly.
And when you're on an island like that, it can be really lonely, and
no,
I think
for sure.
That's where Sabonis is finding himself without his escape valve, his partner in crime, his PIC, in De'Aaron Fox. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing, I know we're pulling positives, but if the calls keep on coming in, 916-339-1140 on fire like TC was, we just got to call it how we see it, because that's what we do here on Styles and Watkins. We'll be right back. Sactown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. For how poorly the Kings played last night, the energy is great today.
Yeah.
I know we've ranked days and Tuesdays in my basement.
Yeah.
This is a great Tuesday so far. I'm feeling good. Nate is in the back doing his thing. He's DJing.
Yes,
he DJs part-time if you need him at bar mitzvahs.
Please.
Or weddings, anything like that.
I specialize at quinceañeras.
Oh, I love a good quince. Yeah. Cotillions. You got multiple things. So if you need Nate, hit him up. He is available. Chris Watkins.
Hi.
Looking real fresh.
Yep.
Looking real crispy. Sex Date Athletics.
Yeah.
I like that.
Shout out Free Gear. Yeah, love it.
Shout out Free Gear. You
love
need it.
Nothing better.
Stingers up.
Always.
Unfortunately, the Kings weren't up, or they were. They were up two for about, 2 seconds last night.
Kind of doesn't count.
It does.
I guess.
Tiny victories.
Guess
that's the theme of this show today. Hashtag tiny victories.
All right,
and that's what we're trying to get through as we take your calls and your texts and your YouTube chat. Ultimate Kingpin, as somebody had alluded to earlier, Ultimate Kingpin says, get Mike Brown out of here. Is that where we're at?
No,
six games in, we should
not be there.
That's insane.
We should not be there.
Is that where we're at?
Pump the brakes a bit here.
Get Brown out of town. That's what it said on the YouTube chat.
Gosh.
Reigning coach of the year. Everyone
undisputed.
Everyone voted for
Is that
for him.
Where we're at? Is the seat getting warm?
No.
Is the seat warmer?
No.
Are you just cranking
no.
it?
No.
Just a little.
No.
Just a little.
No.
It's a little chilly this morning.
No.
Just crank
no.
the seat.
No.
It's insane.
No.
It's insane.
I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just asking. All right. Continuing to pull positives, and then we got Blame Pie coming up. Keon Ellis in the rotation.
Shout
he looked
Keon.
Good. He looked real good, and he didn't look scared. Them G Leaguers, I tell you what.
They're hungry.
G Leaguers are hungry.
Yeah, yeah. Them boys
give me
not
a meal.
Yeah.
Give me some seconds. I am hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And Keon Ellis looked hungry last night.
I mean, that's great to see. Like, I mean, you know, in a game where really everybody lacked heart, it was really great to see Keon come in and – you know, he wasn't really his typical Keon Ellis self. Normally, Keon's going to make his biggest impact defensively, where I say he's just, I truly believe this, and I said it yesterday on the postgame live stream, I think Keon Ellis is an elite defender in the NBA, like today, like right now. I think he steps on the floor and is already in the elite category of defenders. So his hitting 15 points yesterday and hitting, what was it, three or four threes, it's so big because I hope that Mike Brown sees that and doesn't just view it as it's garbage time minutes and, you know, Stockton season's coming up, so it's good for Keon to kind of get in rhythm now. I think this guy can really, really make an impact on this Kings team right here, right now with how bad they're playing because of the exact thing you mentioned to intro Keon. He's hungry. He's not going to – if he steps out on the floor, it's kind of going to be like Colby Jones where you can tell this guy's not – he's going to take advantage of every single minute he's out there, and he's not going to waste a single minute. And I think that's kind of what the Kings need right now is especially without De'Aaron Fox. They just need guys who are going to go out there and play harder than everybody else and play hungry. And I really hope, that Mike Brown looks at what Keon did last night and says, you know what? That's a guy that I want to see in my rotation, or at least give a legitimate chance to, because, you know, if he's showing the willingness to throw Colby Jones out there in the first quarter this early in Colby's career, I don't see why Keon can't get minutes after he's really, you said it to me before the show and I didn't even really think about it. Keon had a great preseason too. Like he this is not the first time he's had a big scoring output. So I would love to see Keon Ellis get at least a look. It doesn't have to be a legitimate, you know, five game stretch of him getting run, but let's see what it looks like if you put him out there in the second quarter and give him 5 minutes and just what happens, because I think he's deserved it. He's been in the G League for the past two seasons. He's on track to go again this year. I think that this is kind of a prove it year for him as well, and I would love to see what it looks like if he can make an impact with this team.
As we continue to try to pull the positives, and Keon Ellis, just a great showing last night. You know, the one thing that I will say was probably the worst part of last night compared to the game on Saturday is that, I'm gonna be honest with you, Saturday it looked like the Kings tried to roll the ball out.
Yep.
If you watched the beginning of last night, the Kings were trying.
They were.
The Kings were playing really hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, as we get into Blame Pie in a little bit here, I don't know if it's about the fact that the Rockets just got on a heater and they couldn't miss. I mean, Sean Tate and whoever, they just couldn't miss. And we knew Jalen Green wasn't going to, they only had 10 points on Saturday. We knew he wasn't going to only have 10 points again. So they really couldn't miss. But that was the thing about last night. That first quarter, I think the Kings felt like, hey, let's rally. Let's show everybody what we got. And the Rockets, maybe it was just the wrong day, right? The wrong couple of days. And the Rockets, they had some good home-cooked meals. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And they just got on a random heater, because that is the main thing for me. The Kings' lack of effort on Saturday, early in the game last night, it did not seem like a lack of effort. And you look up somehow, and even though Kevin Huerter was making shots, I just felt kind of dumbfounded by halftime when you saw the score, because I'm thinking, when did this happen?
Yeah, where did this go wrong?
Where did it go wrong?
It just, it spiraled. I mean, they just never, the problem is they never started playing defense. And shout out Katie and Kyle yesterday. I thought Katie actually did a really great job of pointing out the fact that the Kings just, they were just turnstiles defensively. Mm-hmm. Like, especially on the perimeter, they couldn't keep guys in front of them. And then by trying to get back in front of them after they had already been blown by, they couldn't help but use their hands. Right. And that was another thing, was the fouls yesterday were just out of control.
Yeah.
It was not a, oh, they're playing really physical and they just need to tune it down a little. They were getting dusted, and just by, frankly, being lazy because they were being dusted, they tried to reach in, they tried to get handsy, and it resulted in just a ridiculous amount of fouls. What, JaVale McGee had 3 fouls in the first half. Malik Monk had 3 fouls in the first half. We barely saw him play. I think Demonis had 3 fouls, and so did Davion. It was a complete mess, and it's incredibly disheartening. I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday, and in what sport do you play a team back-to-back times? You have a day off in between. A team blows you out twice. The Houston Rockets are better than the Sacramento Kings as it stands today.
Right now,
like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, you can't get, if this were a boxing match and, you know, Andy Ruiz or whatever, Andy Ruiz beats up Anthony Joshua, and, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, what an upset. There's no way that happens again. And then they fight again, and if it happens again, then it's just like, he's better than him. Like, in boxing, if the Kings
and
get knocked
close.
Out, if the Kings get knocked out twice,
yeah,
there's no debate. There is no need for a third fight. There's no need for a trilogy to figure out who's the better fighter. Like, we just saw over a two-game stretch clearly who's the better team as it stands right here, right now. And I hope the Kings realize that. I hope they see where they're at right now and don't just bank on, ugh, guys, like, we're playing so poorly, this will just revert back to being better. They have to look at where they are right here, right now, and try and address those problems again. That's why I don't think they should you know, just try and bring back De'Aaron Fox and patchwork everything else. This is a thing that is broken and it needs to be fixed, because you're not the team you were last year, and the sooner they realize that and try and address that, I think the better off they're going to be, because like Mike Brown said yesterday in his postgame press conference, I still believe this team has something. Like, there's no way this team is going to look like this all season long, but that's not just going to happen. They have to look at themselves and realistically make some actual changes.
Yeah, and we have that Mike Brown sound. We'll get to it a little bit later. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Greg, who wants to talk Kings. What's up, Greg? You're on Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. What you got for us?
Yeah, hi, guys. A couple things I've noticed. One is, it seems that Murray, when he's driving in the lane, is falling away from the hoop, and he's coming up short. I think that's a problem. And ball movement. There's no one cutting. It seems like there's a lot of one-on-one play, and we need to just move the ball better so that there's more opportunities. We're just settling for three-pointers too much.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Greg. And, you know, we discussed this when you face the Warriors, because they're the cutting kings, right? No pun intended. Sure. All they do is cut to the basket, and we know what we've seen from the Kings, and we know all these great offensive teams, they love the three ball, but if that's not working, what else can you do? I think Greg makes a great point on Keegan Murray falling away. He's still getting used to getting to the cup more. But in terms of the cutting, I mean, there's just no action. So
no, it's terrible. Yes,
and
sir,
that leads me to somewhere I don't want to go only six games into the season, because if you do look at the heater that Keegan Murray was on last season, and you look at the heater that Kevin Huerter was on last season, I know Kevin Huerter has more of a past of being a good shooter, period, right? Keegan coming into the league. That, when you look at some of the numbers from last season and you talk about things that are repeatable, it makes you wonder, what could last season have been a flash in the pan, because they all just got hot.
Yeah.
They all just got hot. And I don't want to go there. I know it's early, but you're not looking at things that are repeatable. Right? You're looking at threes that just went in and now they're not going in.
I think the reason why we believe it's repeatable is because those guys are good shooters. Like the three seasons before Kevin got to Sacramento last year and he shot a career high 40% from three, he was still a 37% shooter on like 25 minutes a game. So it made sense that with increased volume, with on a better team where he's getting more open looks, he's going to hit a better percentage and probably hit more. And so I still believe in the players and their talent. It's just clear that at least during the first couple games, they just weren't hitting open shots. And that's just going to happen sometimes. But what we've seen these past two games is not them missing open shots. It's exactly what that caller just pointed out. They're taking terrible threes and they're just settling for threes. And that's the biggest thing without De'Aaron Fox, is there's nobody getting consistent rim pressure. And the Kings are doing this thing, and they did it all day yesterday, where it's almost like, you know, the run sets up the pass and then you do a play action and, and everybody bites into the run because you've been setting it up and now you can go over the top. Well, the Kings are just throwing deep balls. That's it. They're driving into
Madden
the paint.
05.
They're literally driving into the paint just for the mechanics of, oh, I'm going to drive in the paint and that brings somebody else in. It's just it's a dummy. And after a while, after Houston understands, oh, they've done this five straight times without actually taking an attempt at the rim, they're just going to stay on their guys on the perimeter. And I think that's why the Kings didn't get open looks. I think the fact that De'Aaron isn't out there leads to Sabonis initiating the offense. And when Sabonis initiates offense, that means that everyone's got to move. And to that caller's point, no one was moving yesterday. There was an initial, they would pick a side left or right. They would clear it out except for one person. They'd run a Sabonis dribble handoff or a pick and roll or have him cut. And then if that didn't work, then they got stuck in an ISO with about 8 seconds left and would try and pull some offense out of nowhere. And it just led to garbage for three quarters. And I think, I don't know if, again, I don't know if they need to go completely back to the drawing board and Mike Brown needs to maybe reconsider the tweaks that he made to the offense and just try and go back to what they did last year or just simplify people's roles. But it's not, it's a complete, like, it's a systematic problem. It is not a couple individuals, a couple bad apples. It is, everybody is collectively disjointed. Like, they look like, how Josh Dobbs should have looked on Sunday.
Yeah.
They look like they are just meeting each other for the first time and learning each other's games. And the Kings' continuity was supposed to be a selling point of this year. That was supposed to be
right.
where the Kings kind of had the advantage at the beginning of the season, is they brought everyone back. And we have not seen that continuity pay off even a little bit. They've looked more disjointed than really any other team in the NBA, frankly.
Yeah, it's not good right now. And the one thing quickly before we get to a break is you got to know your personnel, though. And if you're looking around, okay, getting pressure to the rim, who's supposed to bring it? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah. De'Aaron, obviously, but Malik, and that's where it doesn't help that Malik was in foul trouble yesterday because he really didn't play until the third quarter. So they didn't have their two best players at creating shots for the entire first half. And then by the time Malik checked in the third quarter, it was already a 30-point
The game was, yeah, was over. Got to get to a break. When we get back, blame pie. Get your blame pie in. Who is getting what and what percentage? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. At 11, we will be taking a Kings break as we get to our guy, Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, and talk a little bit of Niners. But before we do that, Thanksgiving is around the corner, and we're talking pie.
Ooh.
We are talking, and we already know Chris does not like pie, as he doesn't really like a lot of things in life. But we love Chris. Chris just doesn't love a lot of other things. Yep. And we're talking blame pie. And this blame pie will be King's edition. Mm. And it's not going to be apple because I actually like apple. So it will be a type of pie that
rhubarb
or something like that. And shout out to if you like rhubarb. We're not hating on you. Everybody can like what they like.
I just don't like the word.
Yeah.
It just sounds gross.
You know, and, spelling bees. Have we ever been spelling bee?
Not like past the class stage. Like, I never made it out of, like, you know, they do, like, the, you know, everybody in the class competes, then whoever wins the class goes to, like, the school one. And
I went to the school one. I was in seventh grade, so I was one of the, the school went up to eighth grade, so I was one of the elder statesmen. And cauliflower just destroyed my soul. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
I butchered
that
thing.
That's not easy, though.
I butchered it, and I never forgot how to spell it again.
Same, except I definitely forgot how to, I think I was in third grade, and I didn't know a cross. It was like if it was ack cross or if it was a cross. And
gotta ask for it in sentence.
In my head today, I'm still confused.
You gotta ask
about
for it in sentence.
Cross.
Before we reveal our blame pie, and we want to get into your blame pie as well, maybe Brett wants to talk about his blame pie. He wants to talk about the lack of points and defense in the paint. What's up, Brett? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Just a couple things real quick. My question with all the three-point shooting is, does Coach Mike Brown have the same mentality like he does with Keegan, keep shooting, get out of your slump? And if so, when is enough enough? And then my other thing is, my other frustration, I'm screaming at my TV, why is it that these centers, these forwards, they get to the hoop, and then they turn around and pass the freaking ball farther away. Take the freaking shot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, thanks for the call, Brett. I mean, when it comes to Keegan, that's his calling card, right? Shooters shoot, and they're trying to expand his game, but it's all based on that. That's what you want him to do. Mm-hmm. And to be completely honest, as Chris has kind of alluded to, that's what they need him to do. If he's not going to make threes, you don't have enough other shooting to kind of handle that. And to the point, and I'll let Chris break it down as well, of the passing out, the inside out, that's what the league is right now. Mm-hmm. And besides, and I think JaVale does a good job of going up even when you don't want him to.
Yeah.
But that's kind of Sabonis' thing as well. That's why he is a big man that will average between 5 and 7 assists, because that's what they do. But when the shooters aren't hitting, try to get to the line. And also, is there a part of Sabonis where I don't want to get to the free throw line because I'm not very good at free throws?
Right, exactly. The Ben Simmons thing, right? Yeah, I mean, I definitely think in general, Mike Brown does have a rule of if you're open, shoot the ball. Like, I think it is that cut and dry where it doesn't really matter if it is Sabonis or if it is Keegan or if it's Herter or whatever. He believes that we run the offense to get open shots. And if we have faith as a team in you as a shooter, then we need you to shoot the ball. So, yes, in general, Mike Brown does kind of hold that same accountability for everybody where if you're open, shoot the ball. Kind of doesn't matter if you're 0 of 6 or if you're 5 of 6. He wants you taking the next one, though we will say, I believe it was in that Warrior game when Keegan was 0 of 7. He was 0 of 7 in the first half from 3 and then didn't take another 3 in the second half. So maybe he's allowing some leniency if you're just not having it that night. But in general, also, I do know that the Kings have a mandate. I shouldn't say a mandate, but every single night they're trying to take at least 35 to 40 threes.
Yeah.
And last night they hit 40 exactly. So I don't think it's a coincidence that they're shooting as much as what they are, but I would definitely agree that they're taking way too many perimeter jump shots, especially when they're not falling right now. I would like
to
see them.
They're not good.
Just take it at the rim. Just
they're
take
not
it at
good.
The rim.
Oh, you need 40 threes? I would imagine Mike Brown means 40 good, at least.
Yeah.
At least have 30 of them, well, be 35,
yeah,
be
I also
good.
Think he was probably assuming that they were going to hit more than 35%. I mean, even 35% is pretty good for where this team has been. But,
right.
Like, I think he was anticipating, hey, we're going to shoot 43s, and we're probably going to knock them down at, like, 38 to 39%.
Yeah.
And so, I could imagine that there might be some going back to the drawing board for a lot of things with this Kings team. And it wouldn't surprise me if high on that list is just toning down the three-point shooting just a little bit.
Right. You have to mix some things up. From the 916, that game last night looked like the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Generals. That's from Nick. And we know you love when you put your name on your
yes, sir. Shout out
text,
Nick.
On your text message. That's definitely the way to get them read. And it did. It looked like, and I don't
terrible.
Know, it was out in Sacramento, those guys who the baseball version now.
Oh, the
Savannah
Bananas.
It looked like the Savannah Bananas versus whoever they play, the Jungle or whoever the team is. That's what it looked like. Savannah Bananas and the Harlem Globetrotters versus a team that had no business being on the court. And maybe some of it has to do with the Rockets as we get into our blame pie. Shout out Boysenberry. I would say Mike Brown needs to hold some of this. Mike Brown needs to hold some of this. I'm going as the head coach. I know players play and coaches coach, but Mike Brown is going to get about 20% of my blame pie right now.
I like that number, and I'm going to expand on that number. I'm going to say 20%. Can we also – this is the part no one wants to hear. Can the Houston Rockets get a piece of this blame pie? Like,
what are you giving them?
I want to say 20%. Like, I really think Houston played great basketball over these past two games.
Yes, that was their ceiling.
Come on. Like, yes, the Kings played like garbage these past two games, but – can we just talk about how impressive Houston was? Like, they really were like, Ime's got those dudes playing hard. Mm-hmm. There was multiple times. Like, the fact that the Kings were so late with their pace. Like, every single shot felt like it was coming with 8 or less seconds on the shot clock. That's because Houston played defense for 24 full seconds every single possession.
Right.
There were multiple times where there was loose balls and the Kings would stumble upon it and there would be Dylan Brooks or Jabari Smith in somebody's face and they're long rangy defenders. It was really, really tough. And I definitely think that Houston played their part in the Kings looking as bad as they were. Definitely the Kings also had a large part in it, but Houston played really, really well over these past two games. And I think that shouldn't be lost on any of this is Ime's got this team looking different and actually playing hard, not like an AAU basketball team. So I'm going to say they deserve 20%.
Which was still fun, by the way, watching that. Jalen Green still looks like he's playing AAU. Yeah. We're at 40%. Want to make sure we get this call in before the break. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Let's go out to Ken. And all it says here, you get little notes. It just says, Ken's mad. And we want to hear what Ken's mad about. Ken, are you added to the blame pie? What goes where? You're on Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hey. Yes, this is what it is. This is my philosophy. Listen, the Kings are playing with an added pressure that they didn't have last year. Mm. You know, the media, Sacktown Sports are talking highly of them prior to the season starting. You know, the team was playing last year with just nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? All to gain. You know what I'm saying? So this year you got ESPN talking about them, Charles Barkley talking about them, Shaquille O'Neal talking about, you know, people that never talked about the Kings. Now the Kings have this added pressure. So this pressure, I think, is by us being so young, I think this added pressure is affecting us. You know what I'm saying? Because we and in a light the beam, you already know every team is coming in here talking about, man, they're not going to light the beam tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We added that pressure to us, too, because no other team does something special like that, you know? So you got teams coming into Sacramento or we going to their town, and they're trying to beat us because they're not trying to let us light that beam. And we're also, like I said, playing with that pressure, and we're not playing freely. We're not shooting freely. The decisions we're making are not decisions we made last year. So I thought that we were going to play more methodical. Like, you know Mike Brown's system. You know what he's looking for. You know how to ball. But I don't see that. I just see lousy basketball right now. And everybody's trying their hardest. But I think that added pressure is really affecting the Kings this year. Really, real talk. And I think that pressure, I don't know where it's going to be released from. I don't know if it's Fox coming back and, you know, pressuring the basket, you know, going to the hole for the layups and opening up more free jump shots for our threes. But, you know, that pressure has to be released. I don't know where it's going to come from, but once that pressure released, we can get back to some Sacramento Kings basketball and light that beam again. What you think?
Ken, another one, yeah. Another one.
Great call.
That was great.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Ken. Drops the mic again. Because I think it's a great point. I mean, you talked about Chris, and we've heard it again. Matt Barnes, friend of the show, because he said the same thing on the post game.
Really?
They are not only hunting anymore. They are also the hunted. Mm-hmm. And there is an added pressure. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Exceeding expectations is much different than meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
And last season, the Kings exceeded expectations because they were lower. Now they're higher, and you are being asked, you are being thought of to meet them. And you have not done it yet. It is a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. People are actually paying attention to us. It is very easy. I'm being honest. In Sacramento, it's very easy to be, nobody cares about us. Well, they're going to see. Well, now they're seeing. So now what are you going to do when they're actually eyes on you? So it's going to take a bit, I think, for the Kings to get used to it because it's just different.
Yeah.
It's just different. And yes, you know, not having De'Aaron Fox is a huge deal, but you cannot continue to lay eggs because pretty soon people are going to stop talking about you.
Yep.
And you're going to say, well, why would they? We stink.
Yep.
We stink right now. We got to get to a break. When we get back, taking a break from the Kings, and don't worry, we'll get back to the Kings, or as people keep calling them, and maybe Chris, you can enlighten me on this, the Kangs, I guess that's not,
yeah,
that's when
thing.
It goes
it's
in the wrong
thing.
Direction,
yes,
so we don't want to get there, but that's what it seems like. When we get back, Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, all that and more Kings talk, Niners talk, Super Bowl odds, Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.